God's grace. We preached on that Wednesday night. Where sin abounded, grace much more abounds. Open your Bible, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let me say this while you're turning. I appreciate it. I'll say again, I appreciate these veterans. You don't know, sitting here, you might be sitting right by a hero. You don't know what they've done. Some people says, well, heroes, they just happen to be in the right place at the right time, and anyone else would do the same thing. That's not true. One of my favorite movies is Sergeant York. Anybody ever see Sergeant York? One of my favorite movies. I mean, he came from a nobody, had all kinds of things against him, and to see what he did and how that he performed during the call that he was given. I was reading as well, and in the Civil War, Stonewall Jackson led an army one time, and there was a 12th Division of Georgia that was during the Civil War, and they were being defeated pretty bad, and they were up on a hill, evidently, and they were being killed because of positioning, and they didn't have the means of hiding, and was being obstructed, and so they were losing a lot of lives, and they told them to retreat and go back down the hill, and some of them started, and the others turned around and went back, and they said, no, we're not going to retreat. About 40 of them got killed, 135 got injured. And after they got through, one of the officers asked one of the boys from Georgia, said, why didn't you all retreat when we told you retreat? He told him, he said, we didn't come all the way from Georgia to run from a bunch of Yankees. And that was his approach. And there's all kinds of heroes for all kinds of reasons. Today, I want to share with you a story of David. All of you are familiar with it, but I want to show you some things about David, things that are similar to David, the heroes that we have all around us. You know, there's many unknown, unnamed heroes that's done great things, and many of them give their lives to allow us to do and be what we need to be. As a matter of fact, 97 years ago to this date, 97 years ago in Arlington, Virginia, they laid a big marble slab over a soldier in World War I. They called it the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And it said this, here rest in honor, glory, an American soldier known only to God. And I wonder how many unknown soldiers we've had. And so my heart truly goes with them. But I want to show you some things about David. Now I want to ask you this. We still need heroes of the faith. We've been teaching of heroes in the faith in Sunday school. We still need them. Let me ask you a couple questions before I get started. Do you think there's still a cause of seeing people get saved? Do you think there's a greater cause now than there've ever been? Do you think there's a need to be a bearer of the truth? Then you might just fit in. You might could be a hero yourself. You never know. Let's look at some things. Begin reading, if you would, in chapter 17. Now remember, I'm not going to read all this. Most of you are really familiar with it. Goliath has just come out and showed himself, and he's this big, humongous man. I mean, he'd make me look small. And so he showed himself, and 40 days they were meeting, and they were throwing words back and forth and so forth. And so he come out, the Bible says in verse 9, and he said, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then ye shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and what? Greatly afraid. Now David was a son of Ephraim of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. He had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to battle. And the names of the 3 sons that went to battle was Eliab, the firstborn. And next was Abinadab. And the 3rd was Shammah. And David was the youngest. And the 3 eldest followed Saul. Now I want you to remember that. David was the youngest. And David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening, presented himself 40 days. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephod of parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now notice what David's mission was. David was an errand boy. He was to run up and give them, see how his brothers are doing, take a little food to his brother, and give some to the captain. Then come back and tell his dad how things were going. Verse 19, now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he went to the trench as a host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of Philistines, and he spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were what? Sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely defy Israel as he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of living God? Now remember that little statement there. We're going to come back to that. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against who? David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I done? What did he say? Is there what? Not a cause. You have to determine whether something is a cause. A cause is something worth fighting for. A cause is something worth living for. A cause is something worth standing against. A cause is something even worth dying for. Thank God that we've had some that's willing to look and see what we were up against and said, listen, there's a cause. I'll go. Look on, if you would, in verse number 30. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thou what? Servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now I want you to think about David's response. He said, I'll go fight. I'm sure glad that we've had people willing to go fight. Can you imagine where this nation would be if we didn't go fight? We've had other nations stub their nose, rub things against us, and we've gone all over the world and still are shedding American blood for many nations. When there's a need around the world, God rose America up. As the Japanese emperor once said, we have awoken the giant. And God has rose up America to do things in this world that no other nation can do. And in the process of time, God has blessed America because of the foundings and the principles of founding that America was founded upon. No nation has been able to maintain a government for as many years as America has maintained a government. But it's because it was founded upon the Word of God. 92% of the Constitution and laws that was written and based upon or has some effect from the Word of God. Truly, America has been blessed by God. If you don't believe that, all you have to do is load up in a plane. I could ask each one of these veterans that left this great country and went to foreign fields. They'll tell you, when you come back to America, I've been there. When you come back to America, you want to kiss the ground. But let me tell you this. I'm glad we got people willing to go fight. Amen. And so David said he's going to fight. This morning, I want to give you four things that are unusual about heroes. I want to look at David being a hero to the nation of Israel here. Now notice, first of all, heroes come from unlikely places. Now I want you to notice here, if you remember back, the Bible said that David came from a place called Bethlehem. The Bible says Bethlehem was a place, Micah said, was a small little place from many places of Judah. In other words, Bethlehem, that's where Jesus was born. And that's where he came from. And so there the Bible says that he came to that place. And they looked with scarf upon Bethlehem of Judea because it was such a little place. Well, this hero here came from an unusual place, a small place. Not only that, but he was one of seven sons. And so he was the smallest one of the family. As a matter of fact, whenever Jesse came, and God told Jesse, go and to anoint one to be that would be a future king of Israel, he went and called all the sons of Jesse together, and he looked at all seven of the older boys, and he went down and he thought every one of them was good specimens for a king. But yet they called Lil's guy there from the sheepfold whenever they couldn't find and Samuel couldn't get peace about anointing one and called the smallest one there. And it was David. Now David was as little as of all eight of his brothers. Not only that, but notice the job that he had to do. Here his brothers went to war and they were looked upon as soldiers and so forth. And David had the job of carrying some bread and cheese. Just a little errand boy. Let me tell you something. Heroes come from some of the smallest places. And you think they are unimportant people. But when they are faced with a cause, they're willing to rise up. It's untelling how many heroes are going to be in heaven. When you read the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it lists all the heroes. At the very end, it tells that there's many, many others that's not even named, that we would not even recognize their name. But what they did was phenomenal. The world may not know them. They may seem little in the world's eyes. But when they saw a cause, they stepped up and said, I'm going to fight for that cause. Let me ask you this. Is there a cause worth you fighting for? Somebody said, why should we worry about the church? Why should we worry about foreign fields? I've had people tell me, as a matter of fact, the first battle I ever had, biggest battle I ever had at this church when I first came was over taking on missionaries. I was told by probably the richest man that ever walked, that ever came to church, we couldn't afford $25 a month. Had a battle and created a battle over taking on missionaries, even though the Bible teaches us that we are to preach the gospel to every creature throughout the world. Well, let me ask you this. If you don't want to support missionaries, then where are you going to go? You want to load in a plane and a ship and a bus and go to foreign lands? And of course, I was told that this church couldn't afford $25 a month. He never missed it if he gave it. But that year we gave $25,000 to missions when we took them on. You walk out that back door and you'll look over there to your right and you'll see gobs of pages from missionaries all over the world preaching the gospel. Maybe a little bit of church here in Burnside nobody knows nothing about. But I thank God I can walk back there and look all over the world and see our effect in reaching the gospel to lost and dying. So how many missionaries do you see come through here that we support and has told you the work that's being transferred because of people like you? David, it may seem like he was small, but let me say this. He wasn't chose for his credentials. He was chose for his character. He wasn't chose for his physical features. He was chose for his faith. And therefore, it made him a giant. He may have been the smallest person around that day. And his brother looked on him with scorn and mocked him and said, "Why don't you go back to that little herd of sheep you got, those few sheep?" He may have looked on him with scorn, but I tell you what, he was a giant in God's eyes because of his faith. Now, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. They that come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen. If there is a cause, you say, "Preacher, there's nothing I can do. Look at me. There's nothing to me. There's not much to me. I'm just a little person here." So was David. David was a little person. He was smallest among his family. And he was on a little errand to take bread and cheese in the midst of war. Second of all, I want you to notice, not only does heroes sometimes come from unusual places, they have a different perspective. They don't see things the way other people see them. Look back in your Bible just a moment. Remember, I told you to remember a couple things there in chapter 17. Every time that Israel and Saul saw a Goliath come down, what did they see? They seen a giant. They seen this giant and they saw this huge guy and they saw this fierce warrior. And every time he come down, they were sore afraid. Man, he made them scared. Nobody wanted to go up against this giant. And so here he was for 40 days trash talking Israel. He come down and he laugh and mock at them and they would stand there and he would dare them, send some man down. But now notice David's perspective. Israel's response was they scared to death. But notice how David saw things. Look back in your Bible a moment. Look at verse number 26. And David spake to the men that stood by, "What shall be done to this man that killed this Philistine and take away the reproach from Israel? For who is this what?" You see, David didn't see the giant that was a Philistine. He didn't see a Philistine giant. He saw an uncircumcised Philistine. That means that he saw somebody that had no association with the people of God. And here he was coming up against the army of God. Now notice the next verse, the last part of that verse in verse 26. Now, what did he say that he was coming up against? Who? The armies of who? He said, listen. He said, I don't look at him as being some great giant. I look at him as being some uncircumcised guy that has no right, that doesn't know. I'm ashamed of Israel. I mean, they're running off being cowards. Have they forgot that they serve the living God? Listen, you say, "Preacher, I know there's a cause, but I'm afraid." What are you afraid of? Are you looking and seeing a giant? Or are you looking and understanding that that's an uncircumcised Philistine that has no protection of God about him whatsoever? And here he is coming against the armies of a living God. David was saying in that statement, he's saying this, have you all forgot who you serve? You think you can't do anything? You think you can't be a hero for the Lord? You know, can you imagine what the worth would be if you were to see one soul saved? The Bible, Jesus said this, if you should gain the whole world and then lose a soul, what would it profit, man? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus compared one soul to the whole world. You say, boy, I'd sure like to conquer and make a name for myself. Can you imagine what it would be if you were instrumental in seeing somebody saved? One soul. Do you understand the importance of one soul? And David said here, he said, listen, I know that the world's against us. I know the devil's against us. I know my old flesh I fight against. He said, but listen, all the enemies that we have, they're nothing compared to God. He said, we are the army of the living God. And here this old uncircumcised Philistine is standing down here all saying all these things about our God. Ain't no way. You see, he saw Goliath different than everybody else saw him. Everybody else saw this big, huge guy. David saw somebody defying the living God. And man, he didn't like it. And he said, "I listen, there's a cause. I'm going to put that guy's mouth shut. I ain't going to let nobody speak about God. We serve the living God. We are the armies of a living God. We're not some old uncircumcised Philistine that don't know who we serve. We serve a living God that's able to do anything." And so let me tell you something. Not only did this hero come from from unusual small places, doing unusual small things, but he had a different perspective than everybody else. He saw things differently. He realized that there was a cause. He said, he told Saul there in verse 32, he said, listen, I'll go fight. Let me go fight him, this uncircumcised Philistine. I'm getting tired of hearing him run his mouth down there. The third thing is this. You say, preacher, I bet everybody would cheer me on if I'm a hero and doing something for God. No. David, he got a lot of criticism for what he did. First thing off the bat, here he was, his brother and his two other two brothers was carrying away. And Eliab, here, whenever he heard what David was saying, boy, he come down there and he got criticizing David. He said, I know your pride. I know you how hard you are. Well, let me ask you this. Where was Eliab's courage? I didn't see him going down in the valley facing Goliath. All the rest of the men was up there quivering away. And here when David started to do something, you know what he did? He got the criticism. Not only did he get criticism from him, he got criticism from the king. He looked at him and he said, but David was the only one. He put his armor on. He looked like some little whip pup underneath the armor. And here he was. He put it on there. And he said, listen, I'll go fight. And so Saul tried to do that. But listen, look in verse number 30. The Bible says there, let me find it, or verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against what? For thou art but what? And he is what? Not only was his brother criticizing him, but the king said, you're not able to do that. Now listen to me very carefully. You want to be a hero? You can't quit every time somebody tells you you can't do something. You're going to get criticized, and sometimes it's going to come from places that you wouldn't think it would come. Sometimes it comes from your own family. Sometimes it comes from very people you're trying to help. But you can't let criticism stop you from doing what you need to do. If you want to be a hero, you understand there's a cause. And you understand that you don't quit. And you understand that you serve a living God. Somebody said, well, that's impossible. God can't do nothing there. That's impossible. Things that are impossible, man, is possible with God. Don't ever doubt the ability of God. Look on. Not only that, but also notice that that he, as he put the armor on, in verse 38 and 39, we didn't read that, but the Bible says Saul armed David with his armor. He put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he assailed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. Now, let me tell you this. Here David was. Saul said, I want you to go with the status quo. Do it like everybody else does. Put all this old armor on, go out there. He put it on, and David just shrunk up in it. David said, I can't go out here with this. I've never used nothing like this before. Let me ask you this, or let me just say this. Just because everybody else is doing it one way doesn't mean that God will not have you do it a different way. They thought the only way to go out there and fight that enemy was do it with status quo. Sometimes God asks you to do something in a peculiar way. He asks you to do something that you say, I don't understand. Has God ever moved upon you to just go at some given time and do something for somebody or say something to somebody? And you say, I don't understand why God wanted me to do that. But yet, God laid upon your heart and you know. Let me tell you one time I was disobedient. I was going to Celine at that time before I started pastoring. And somebody told me about their cousin or something. I forget what relationship it was, but I told them, I said, I'll go visit them. They were lost. I said, I'll go visit them. And they told me Sunday. And they asked me to go Sunday afternoon. I said, I'll go visit them tomorrow. And I didn't go. I had full intentions of going tomorrow on Monday. They were killed that evening in a car wreck. I cannot tell you the dagger that went in my heart. Because God had spoke to my heart about going. I don't know what would have happened, but I know this, that I was disobedient. And somebody said, well, preacher, your words might not have made any difference. No, but they might have made difference. My point is this. Just because it's a status quo and God tells you to do something and use something different, don't think that God can't use that. And so David said, listen, take this stuff off of me. I ain't never used nothing like this. And so the last thing I want you to see here is David, not only did he receive criticism, but I want you to notice that he told them that he was relying upon some other things. What he did was he looked back and looked back in your Bible a minute and noticed that he relied upon some things that happened in his past. He knew what God had done for him. He knew there was a purpose in his life to do this. But now notice, if you would, in verse number 36. And the Bible says, David talking, he said, thy servant slew both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of living God. David said, listen, God's been there with me in the past. I don't see any difference going out here right now. He said, just like when the lion come take one of my sheep, just like when the bear come take one of my sheep. And let me tell you something. This little fellow had some courage. If you read the whole story, the Bible says when the lion come out, he grabbed him by the beard and he slew him. He got pretty close to that lion. A lot closer than I would ever got. But look here. My point is, he said, listen, God's been with me in the past. He can take care of me with this what's coming here. So I said, preacher, I don't know how I'm going to face this. You face it just like you did in the past. The same God that was with you there is going to be with you up there too. Okay? Now look here. And so David said, listen, I'm going to face God. Now, sometimes, and so he prepared to act upon faith and faith alone. But now notice, if you would, sometimes you say, well, preacher, nobody knows me. I'm just a little nobody. But notice, if you would, in chapter 17, notice, if you would, in verse number 55 real quickly. I'm going to close right here, but I want you to get this minute. Notice in verse 55. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, what? Here's a Saul king sitting there. He said, David come up to him, told him, said, listen, I've done this before. I've done this. He said, I'll go out here and get it. And so when he left, Saul said, I don't even know who this guy is. He said, who is this, Abner? Abner said, I don't know. I don't know who he is. Look here. Look on. In verse number 57. Or verse 56. And the king said, inquire there whose son this stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. Now, get this just a minute. I'll close. I thought of this whenever I was reading. That tomb of the unknown soldier that was laid 97 years to this date on November 11th, 1921. Nobody knew who he was, but it's untelling what he had performed. And you say, well, preacher, I'm a nobody. Is there a cause? Is it worth fighting for? Is it worth living for? Is it worth standing for? Let me ask you this. Is it worth dying for? Heroes have been made of unusual people. No, they were not at the right time and the right place, and anybody would have done it. They saw there was a cause. And they were willing to stand for the cause in which they believed in. How about this morning? Are you here this morning and saved? Have you lost sight of the cause? Do you understand we're in a war? Do you understand we're in a fight? Do you understand we serve the living God? We have nothing to run from. We have nothing to be ashamed about. There is a cause. Are you willing to stand for the cause? Maybe you're here this morning, you're not saved. You need to come this morning. How about if we stand? Page 154. Will you let him have his way this morning? How about it? Thank God for all the heroes of the faith. Was there someone in your life? Let me ask you this, Brother Porter, before we play. How many of you here are saved that you hold your hand up? Let me ask you this. Is there someone particular that was a hero to you in your faith? I've often told this story, and I'll share this story real quickly, and we'll sing an invitation. But when I was a little boy, 7 or 8 years old, we went to a place called Sinking Creek Baptist Church. And I was standing about right here where Steve is. I was standing there one day. And I was there and they gave invitation. And this lady called, her name was Cynthia Boone. She was 92 years old, I think, at the time. Something like that. She was pretty old. She had little feeble hands and she had a little cane. I was standing there, and they were giving an invitation. I'll never forget this. And she comes, she put her arm around me. I didn't even know she knew who I was. And she whispered in my ear, she said, Billy, I've been praying for you that God would save you. I didn't go that day. But of all the people in that church, she was always my hero. I kind of felt embarrassed that day, to be honest with you. But later on, when I got saved, she became my hero. She cared enough. And it was shortly after that I got saved. But she cared enough to pray for me. She became my hero. And to this day, when I think about that place and my salvation, she comes to mind. She walked to church, wore little cotton dresses, and in the world's eyes, she might have been little of nothing. But man, she was a hero to me. Amen. Let's stand. Sing. Own all the world. How about this morning? Maybe you've lost sight of the cause that's before you. You need to come. Maybe this morning you need to be saved and God's still in your heart about your salvation. Oh, dear.